Jacobs.
Paul Jacobs.
City Talk 105.9.
Hey, how are you? Wherever you are, wherever you're listening, on the bus, on the internet, in your car, this is the Producer's Cut, the official audio blog from the Paul Jacobs Drive Time Show with me, producer Mick, and him, Paul Jacobs.
Hey, how you doing, Mick?
Good, thanks, man. It's that time of the month again when we sit down, we chew the cud, we shoot the breeze on all things Paul Jacobs. It's been a big old month, hasn't it? It's been a while, actually, since we've last did a blog.
Yeah,
purely because we've been that busy.
A bit naughty. We've been a bit naughty, haven't we? But I love doing this because this means we can go a little bit off-centre, can't we, and say a few more things that we couldn't do on air, which is, you know, that's what the blog is all about, isn't it? And there's been some rather interesting things have been going on, Mick, hasn't there?
Well, let's start with Travel Week.
Travel Week. Oh, yeah.
Basically, you travelled to work each day via a different method. You got the car, you got on the train, you got on the bus, you rode a bike, and you walked.
Yeah, and my arse is still killing me from the bike.
I'm not surprised.
And I've got a big arse, but I tell you what, it was a breeze. I loved it. Really loved it in the fresh air, Mick. You know, if I had a bike, I would do it two or three times a week,
but
I haven't.
Yeah, but you said that, and when we did our ratings, bikes came right up there. But for me, you know, bike is not a viable option. You're travelling in from Allerton. It's a long old way. It was a nice day, to be fair, when you did it.
It was a beautiful day.
I think if you'd have done it when it was a little bit rainy, a little bit windy like it's been in the last week or so, you'd have gone, you know what, biking is not an option.
No, you're absolutely right. But I need to get fit. I've got to get fit. If I don't get fit in the next month or so, I'm going to go absolutely mad because I played football at the weekend for this Masters team and I was huffing and puffing after a 15-yard run down the inside left channel.
That's further than you've run in years.
I know, whatever that means. Hey, listen, once you get beyond 35, and you're a long way from it.
I was going to say, I've got nearly 10 years on you.
Gangs of time, mate. You know,
well, I've got 10 years on 35 and you're 47, so...
I'm in big trouble, aren't I? I'm in massive trouble. But I love that week. It really opened my eyes, to be honest with you. What it opened my eyes to as well, there's several lady drivers with the greatest of respect in South Liverpool that basically need to take their test again because they're absolutely crap.
We should get you to retake your driving test. That would be a very interesting piece.
Well, the one thing they didn't have in my day, did they have it in your day? I never did a theory test.
Yeah, yeah,
written test. Did you do it?
Yeah, yeah. Essentially, it's just the highway code, and they ask you questions about it.
How did you do it? How did you do on that section?
I don't know. You have to get something like 21 out of 25, or 20 out of 25. I got 23 or 24 out of 25.
You're dead brainy.
But even the missus did that, you know. It's dead easy. It's the easiest thing in the world. We should get you to sit a theory test. Let's see if you'd ever pass it.
God help us.
Speaking of getting fit, though, I didn't quite expect you on the other day on the Drive Time show when we had Warren Bradley in to talk tall ships. You challenged him as part of the World Firefighters Games to race up the tower. Now, is this part of your getting fit Drive Time?
I've no idea at all why I did it. All I know is that I'm as mouthy as Warren is, and though he's a friend of the show, I want to bring him down a peg or two because, of course, he's a fireman. But then as soon as I realised I challenged him and he had this massive smile on his face and he looked at my rotund torso, he realised that, you know, I was on a hiding to nothing. So I have got to get fit over the next couple of weeks or so. Otherwise, I'm in massive trouble. But I'd love to get one over Warren Bradley. Warren Bradley, if you're listening, I'm going to get one over you. All right. But the great thing is it's a charity.
Tremendous!
Cash for kids.
Absolutely.
And that's what we're doing it for. But I don't want to be embarrassed. I mean, I get embarrassed a lot on the programme.
Yeah, but Warren is a trained firefighter.
I know.
So he actually has to do all this fitness stuff on a regular basis.
But he doesn't look all that fit to me. Bradders, you're not really fit, are you? You're just an ageing old politician.
Well, he's going to make you eat your words, mate, when you have to run up that tower. Ideally, we're going to do that towards the end of August. Well, ideally, just before the start of the World Firefighters Game. Well, say at the moment, I'm coughing here, and the reason I'll explain now, the cleaner is currently going around putting like talcum powder down on the floor before she hoovers. It's like the old shaken vac. Do people still do that carpet
what
freshener?
Was it? Put the shaken
back and do the freshness back. Yeah. Do the shaker.
Well,
I think that deserves a tremendous.
Sorry, that's rubbish, isn't it? It's just, you know, shaken vac.
It's just talcum powder in the carpet.
Yeah, it is, yeah.
But it stinks and it's making me cough.
You might as well spray Brute on your carpet. Brute's coming in, you know.
No, it's not.
The Henry Cooper, Kevin Kidd. It is back.
That's just what that woman told you. So you buy some offer at that service station.
I'm going to buy some and put it on you, Mick, and see if it makes any difference.
I don't need any extra help, though.
You're nearly married, aren't you?
Nearly married.
Yeah, you are.
What else are we doing on the Drive Time show? Hey, I tell you what, if you go to the Ellesmere Port this week, depending on when you're listening to it, we recorded this towards the end of July. The Ellesmere Port, page 2, Paul Jacobs making dreams come true for the cast of Oliver, who were due to perform at the Ellesmere Port Civic Centre.
Yeah.
And it had to close because of the strikes, of course. They couldn't perform two nights out of the four. So he said, you know what, come down, perform for us on the radio.
Well, hats off to you, Mickey. It was your idea to do it. And I tell you what, and you said that the faces on the kids as well was fantastic when they left the studio. So it worked.
They were made up. They were made up to come down. It was brilliant. And they weren't bad singers either. And, as if I remember correctly, they invited you down to their next performance. Was it... What was it all?
I forgot what it was now. I'm definitely going to go, for sure. I love live theatre. There's nothing with it. You don't get a greater buzz, do you, come out of the theatre? I mean, the cinema don't compare to it. Although they call the cinema in America the theatre, don't they?
Yeah.
So that always mixes me up.
See, I'm a big cinema man.
Well, I love cinema, Mick, as you know. I'm a great great lover of cinema from, you know...
way back when.
The 30s, the Hollywood great days, you know, and film noir and stuff.
Actually,
I get a bigger thrill from cinema.
We were talking about old films the other day. A Matter of Life and Death.
The which greatest ever.
I would
film.
Never have... Well, it was
have
just...
Have you got it out yet?
No, I've seen it. It's on More 4 all the time. I would never have thought that we would agree...
what a film.
On in terms of things that we liked on a film, which was made in 19...
I think it's 48, I think.
1948 and starred... Was it Niven? David Niven?
David Niven, yeah.
Who basically dies in a fighting in the World War... And as the plane's crashing down, he speaks to a woman over the radio.
Yeah, radio.
And then basically he dies. But then it's like him dead in the afterlife, trying to win the right to be with this girl who he met just before he died.
Yeah, so he fell in love, and he wants to feel that love because he basically is right. His sort of marks on the wall in heaven, and they've accounted for him, but. He didn't die. He was supposed to die, but he didn't. It's a great... Listen, if you've never seen that, just get it out.
It's got the best representation of heaven as well. You know, the staircase where it's moving up. Yeah. It's absolutely... And there's some absolutely fantastic performances in there. And it's quite dark as well underneath. It's got very sort of... There's a Frenchman in it who deliberately, I think, plays up to this sort of sinister, don't trust him character. Well, I think that's a sign of the times of the fact that he's French, but...
Yeah, he's the go-between, isn't he, between heaven and earth. And it is a fantastic movie. And, you know, I remember watching it as a wee little kid one, I think, Wednesday or Thursday afternoon when I was off school and being captivated. Just captivated. Anyway, that aside, but we love to talk cinema on Drive Time because, you know, it's a very special medium and it's becoming popular again, massively popular.
So the best of luck to everyone down at the Footloose Theatre Company at Ellesmere.
Yeah, go for it.
They put on their performances despite those strikes going on and onwards and upwards for them. Just taking a look through the Drive Time diary, we actually put down everything we do on the Drive Time show so that we know when we did things, because the number of times we do things and we go, when did we do that? So I started keeping a diary, just looking back at some of the stuff we've done. The tall ships, you went down there, Paul.
Fantastic.
It's fair to say that was tremendous. Oh, hang on. My button's gone. Hang on. Fair to say it was...
tremendous!
I think, you know, tall ship, how boring is that watching a big tall ship go by? Sort of thing my late grandfather would have done, but my word, these are beasts. And I really enjoyed it. That is absolutely brilliant. I would do it again. I would like to travel on a tall ship, actually, if they'd have me.
My only criticism of it was the fact that the wind was in the wrong direction, so they couldn't put the sails up. You know, I don't think you got a full sense of how fantastic they look.
Which was
a bit disappointing for me.
I'm glad we did that. We did it.
It was important that we did that because it was the most talked about thing in Liverpool that day. Everybody, the trains coming in were absolutely rammed. A million people over that weekend. Of course, don't forget the golf as well was on.
Golf was tremendous as well. And
tremendous, hang on.
Tremendous!
There we go.
Oh, fantastic. The golf, the tall ships, Liverpool bringing in so many people. You know, we like to think we have a sense of community, Mick, don't we, on the programme? I think that's really, really important.
Well, we like to be warm and friendly, and you like to be very, very warm and friendly with one Anne Widdecombe, who appeared on the Drive Time show. It was a story about young girls' magazines, basically full of sex information, full of things that probably young girls probably didn't need to know about at their ages. So we said, well, you know, should they come with an age rating in these magazines? We got Anne Widdecombe on the show. She came on and she said, you know what? There's loads of stuff in these magazines which shouldn't be there. I thought that was a fair enough shout. Now, at the same time, Paul, you remembered that a few weeks previously, Anne Widdecombe had appeared in the papers saying that nobody had tried to flirt with her in something like
20 years. I'd take her out for dinner if she comes here. I used to have a thing for Harriet Holman when I was
But
younger.
You made a pass at her, basically.
I did. And Dawn Primorolo, who's in government now, she can make my duvet any day. Who wants to become an MP nowadays? If
Duncan Barks, have you not heard the song? By the way, Anne Widdecombe, you can hear that interview www.citytalk.fm/Paul. Click on Anne Widdecombe's face there and you'll be able to hear that interview in full.
Mick, would you ever want to become an MP? I mean, there's so many other alternatives you want to become. The hassle they get as well.
They do get a lot of hassle.
Pressure, the stress.
But you know what?
Would you like to have done it?
What is it, 60 grand?
Yeah, not a lot, is it?
The only issue for me is job security. It's got to be zero. It's got to be one of the worst job security things you can do. Obviously, you get in for 4 years, but you never know what can happen in that time. You tell, you know, your Peter Mandelsons, your David Blunkets, your John Reeds, you know, anything can happen. Your Charles Clarks, you know, one cock up at the home office, and everybody's out on their ear.
No, I agree with you. It's something I wouldn't like to. I would like to do if the benefits were there, but I couldn't see them there. So MP. No,
it's the
fact
you got to work 7 days a week, and you probably got to work 12, 13, 14 hours a day.
Seven days a week, bollocks to that. Can't do it.
Too much. It wouldn't be
tremendous.
No, it wouldn't be tremendous at all. Esther McVeigh's been on the show as well while you've been away.
Good old blonde bombshells filling in for me.
Absolutely.
Loving it with a sports car.
Because at the moment, what are you doing? You're doing a lot of racing at the moment, aren't you?
I'm just all over the place doing announcing for Great Leigh's Racecourse, the newest racecourse in Britain since 1927. Or there'll be
that
another
one
unveiled next year in South Wales.
They're going to, a new racecourse?
Yeah.
What's it called?
That'll make it 61. I can't pronounce it. It's a Welsh name. It's in South Wales. It's so far away.
Something like that.
Yeah, Clan Blilly Blolly, but I can't remember. But yeah, it's going to be 61 racecourses in Great Britain. So yeah, there you go.
Is it that many? See, I wouldn't have said it was that many. 61.
I keep an eye on the blog because me and Mick are going to go for a big gamble on a horse called Young Mick. It's running in the Ebor Handicap in August at York. Come on, Young Mick, get in there. We're going to have an each way bet. It's 16-1 at the moment. If you manage to listen to this blog early enough, this horse is going to run a massive race. Ebor Handicap, York, second week in August.
Second week in August. Yeah. Is that when you're off?
No. I think I'm doing breakfast then, aren't I?
Oh, you've hit the big time now, have we?
God damn.
Standing in for a filly stand when he goes on his holidays.
Gotta get up at 4 a.m. What's it all about?
You're up at 4 a.m. anyway.
I know, because I never sleep. Do you know I never sleep? It's not because I worry about the program. I just worry about me. I'm getting old too quickly. Do you ever think you're getting too old too quickly? Do you ever think as you approach the 30s?
Mate, I'm 26. I've only just turned 26. I'm nowhere near 30.
But you are. Now, can you not see 30 on the horizon?
Not really,
are you not worried?
No.
Do you see little things going wrong with your body and your mind?
No, I always say, there's nothing wrong with my body.
But don't you want to start a family shortly?
No, not really. See, I always think people who look at their things think, oh, I'm getting old. It's just like, well, that's because you've not done anything. You know, that's because you've got regrets about your life. I say, crack on with your life and do things that you want to do as your life is progressing. You don't want to get to the age of 30 and then go, oh, yeah, I really wanted to go on holiday, or, oh, yeah, I really wanted to go to Barcelona or to Rome or to see some New York.
You've done a lot of them, haven't you?
You know what, I have, because I got to about 22, 23, and I thought, you know, now it was when I left university. I paid off, you know, a lot of my debts and stuff like that. And I thought, well, now is the time. If you can't go traveling, you can't see the world when you're between the ages of 22 and 30, then when can you do it?
You're glass half full, merchant. There's no doubt about it. You are very, very positive.
There's no point
in
moaning.
Very positive guy. So the moral of that story is get your asses out there and see the world if you can do.
Yeah.
No doubt about it.
But the thing is as well, because I'm the king as well of cheap holidays.
Yeah, you are.
Absolutely. The cheapest. I have done, this is how much I've done it in the last sort of, probably about, since 2005 was my first holiday. And apart from Prestatyn, that don't count though.
You love Prestatyn.
I do. Barcelona.
Yeah, Barcelona.
I've done Dublin.
Not been there.
I've done Rome.
Been there.
I've done Edinburgh.
Been there very young though.
I've done Belfast.
Never been there. I like to go there.
I've done Amsterdam.
Never. Oh yeah, I have been there. Yeah.
Done Berlin.
Never done Berlin.
Done Rhodes in
Never
Greece.
Done Rhodes.
Fantastic.
Nick Rhodes.
That's it. We did Cornwall as well. That was great. The Eden Project in Cornwall.
I've never
absolutely
been there.
Fantastic.
Would that be good for
the kids? Oh, the kids would absolutely love it. It's a wondrous
there.
Place. Absolutely fantastic.
Wondrous.
And coming up next month, I have a couple of weeks off. Tremendous. Oh, hang on. Tremendous.
Tremendous!
I think that is tremendous.
And I'm going to Venice.
Oh, you little romancer, you.
By the way, when I went to Berlin, I went with the lads, so we stayed in a bit of a cheaper hostel. Yeah. I booked it through, I think it was jet2.com. We flew, stayed over in Berlin for £100.
No.
Flights and hotel.
What was the
all
like?
In all, The beer was brilliant. The Berliner, it's called. Einzwei. Drei Berliner. Dankeschön. Three beers, please. Thank
Fantastic.
You.
Fantastic.
Oh, no. No, Bitterschön, they say.
Oh, do they? Oh,
well. Yeah, you go, no, there you go. Zwei Berliner Bitter. And they go, Bitterschön, and then give you the beer.
Nice.
It's not that expensive either.
So we've got to thank Esther. We've got to thank Jason Harborough for sitting in as well.
Oh, I am.
For a little bit of a time. Big Jace.
Big Jace, who you worked with for years and didn't even realise.
Didn't even realise who he was, and I wouldn't want to argue with him, so I just said, yes, I remember you, but I still actually don't.
We've got to say a big thank you as well to our long-haired lover from Liverpool, little Jimmy Osmond, who's currently on work experience on the show.
Yeah.
Little Jimmy, real name Adam.
Real name Adam, yeah. Poor guy. He gets a lot of flack, doesn't he?
He needs to get his hair cut.
He does need. We're going to cut his hair live on the show. I'm going to give him a number two. He says he won't have a number two because his mum will go mad. But if I say, listen, we'll do it for Cash for Kids and I'll sponsor him, let's see if we can get it cut his hair. Because one of our other researchers, Janie, has had a haircut with fur and no problem.
Can I just say, Jane, right, has come in today and she's had a haircut. Now it looks great, fantastic, well done, because she graduated, she's got her hair done specially. I got my hair cut yesterday, hardly anyone mentioned it. She comes in, oh, don't you look fabulous?
She's a woman.
Nobody said I look fabulous.
She's a I said your hair looked great.
Did you?
I thought it really suited you, yeah.
What, yesterday? It's the same, you know.
No, it's fine.
It's fine. Good. Just
no,
fine.
No, it's good.
I thought it was...
Did your other half like it when you went back?
She did. She was impressed.
There you go. Did she, like, run her hands through the side of your hair, like, romantically?
Oh, you mean like this?
That's what I'm talking about, baby! Did she?
No, to be fair, it was more like this.
I have to say, you make a very fine cut. And I mean that most sincerely.
Yeah. Anything else to add to the producer's cut?
What else have you got? What else have we done? July's been an interesting month, hasn't it?
I'll just July, I'm going to randomly pick at... I'll tell you what we did. We did the Cash for Kids charity night at Aintree.
Aintree Racecourse.
What a night that was. I was almost in tears.
Now,
and
Nick,
I am the cold-hearted most...
He is cold-hearted, but he has this sensitive side that he wraps up in, like, cling film and tightly pushes together.
It nearly came out, you know. It nearly came out.
Did you nearly cry?
You know, I nearly got a bit emotional.
Which
and
one?
You know when? It was because there was a group, and I think it was the World Deaf Children's Society.
We were on their table.
They were on our table, right. And obviously, the people that are coming in and they're asking for certain amounts of money. There was a scout group wanting to build a scout hut. There was, other groups wanting to take kids away for weekends, for weeks, and all that sort of stuff. This group, the World Deaf Children's Society, the nicest people you could ever meet. They wanted, I think it was 260 quid. Because they wanted to take the kids to a farm for the day.
So humble.
And give their parents a picnic. That was it. But it was almost like, I felt like getting my checkbook out of myself and going, hey, 260 quid.
You just have it.
That was it. All they wanted to do was just the most simple thing in the world, but it would just make an absolutely massive difference. 260 quid, what is that? And yet, these charities in situations where there's no money, they've got to ask. And it's almost like they don't like asking, but then when they receive, the faces were unbelievable. It was actually great. We had 12 charities, I think, were there that night.
It was wonderful.
And the way that they were told that we could come down, they'd have a meal, all very nice. And then there was a chance they could find out whether or not they had got the money. So it just so happened that they all got the money that they were on.
Absolutely.
They all got the full whack that they were asking for as well.
Mick, what are you going to look forward to in the next month or so? What's going to be happening on the show? Because we've got some things planned, haven't we, as well?
We have, yeah. Now, there's a couple of switches around scheduling-wise. You're going to be doing a little stint on breakfast. I think I might be standing as well, so I might take the brain teaser with me. I'm not sure yet. What else have we got coming up? You've got a week off.
We're going to do, in the next month and a half or so, we're going to do like a cultural sort of thing.
That's it.
We?
Yeah, we did. We got a massive reaction on the Transport Week. It was a great success. So we thought, well, let's build on these week long projects. And we've been very keen to sort of speak to people from different cultures from within Liverpool and talk up the idea that Liverpool is the world in one city.
Let's
so we're going to go for the World in One City Week. We're going to be ideally speaking to people from different corners of the community and finding out sort of about their experiences living in Liverpool, be it if they're Chinese, Caribbean, Black, white, you know, whoever from around the world, and we'll try and take in a bit of their sort of a culture as well, which has been like become part of our culture now as well.
Absolutely.
I'm thinking Irish as well. I'd love to get you playing steel drums.
Do you know what? I had steel drums at my wedding.
Did you?
Yes.
Where'd you get married?
In the reception. In Willesden Green in North... and they were different class.
It's all sounds like that, don't it?
I think they're great. I think it's a great, anyway, great sound. It's
what?
Great sound.
Anything else you're looking forward to?
Well, just think, you know, onwards and upwards for the show, you know, Mick, just think of new ideas. And it's great, you know, if any of the listeners out there fancy some, us doing something for a special project over a week, then come to us and tell us.
Absolutely.
Tell us about it. We're open ears.
Yeah, if you ever want to get in touch with the show, dead simple. The usual numbers apply. We'll give you them if you tune in 4 till 7. You can email, though, if you're on your computer now. It should be nice and easy for you. paul@citytalk.fm. And as requested by popular demand, I now have my own email, which you can email into. Absolutely. And that email address, dead easy, producermick@citytalk.fm.
That's great. That.
Producermick@citytalk.fm. That's my email address. I'm Mick Coyle. I'm the producer of the Paul Jacobs Drive Time Show on City Talk 105.9. He's Paul Jacobs.
See ya.
And this has been The Producer's Cut.
Paul Jacobs.
Paul Jacobs.
On City Talk 105.9.